Hi, we're the Rices. We've been married for 12 years. We have 6 kids from the ages of 9 to 0, and we're full of passion to raise a household that serves and honors the Lord. And we want to encourage others to do the same.
And welcome to the Raising Rices podcast. This is a podcast that we are passionate about encouraging families, specifically through parenting and marriage, how to raise households that serve the Lord. And today we have a fascinating conversation.
I know, we're always coming at you guys with just our convictions and the conversations that we're having in our marriage and in our family, and just reflecting really on the questions and the conflicts and the culture that we see around us. And we hope, as always, that our convictions are based in a biblical foundation, and that us sharing our convictions and the way that we have thought through these issues is ultimately helpful and encouraging to you guys.
And our podcast format is a lot about talking about our conviction, talking about character qualities that are developed because of that conviction, and then challenges that you may face in today's world when you walk out your conviction. The interesting thing about convictions is, and there's a verse about this, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Right.
Paraphrased, forgive me, I should have looked that one up. But the reason why we have convictions is because we want to have such intentionality in our behavior towards the world, towards God, towards our family, that and everything that we do is glorifying to God. And one of the topics that we're going to be talking about today is all about that. It's all about God honoring Him in the choices that we make. However, it might come to you as a little bit of a surprise. We have done already a podcast about some of these elements, but the thing is, I don't think that we touched on as harshly.
Or as in-depth.
Thank you.
Or as specifically, right? So we're always kind of working through these ideas of how the household is structured and how the household is to serve the Lord. And in many of these conversations, there's little snippets of, oh, this thing, or oh, maybe in this area too. But we don't get very in-depth about them necessarily. But in the course of conversation with the believers in our church body and other people that we are just in contact with, these more specific scenarios kind of tend to work their way to the surface. And so then we hope that by fleshing them out a little bit more, that they're helpful to you. And so our conviction really is this, that the father is actually the head of cultivating the family's education unto the Lord.
And it's going to be interesting today because we have education in several different realms.
Right.
As you know, we've done a podcast already about homeschooling and our conviction in homeschooling. But I don't think that we touched on as in-depth as Darren helped provide the words for me on that one, as in-depth as we would like to, that while it may seem like the mom who is doing the teaching, maybe is researching the curriculum, implementing the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute schooling education, is in actuality looking at the biblical framework of the household, not the one in charge. And as the mom, may I say, praise God for that.
Right. I think we actually touched on this just very briefly a few weeks ago when we were talking about slow living.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the blessing that it is that sometimes it is the father that leads in saying no to the busyness. And much in the same way that you're saying here is that it is a weight off of your shoulders at times to know that you can come to me and you can say, how do you think this is going? And as the leader of our house, I can say, I think it's going really good here. I think it's going really good here. And I think that if I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at what we're covering, maybe this area we should add some more emphasis in. And then we can work together on what that looks like. But the weight isn't solely on the mom who is in the trenches doing so much of the teaching and the training and of the kids and their education, but that shouldn't be a burden that you have to carry.
It's so good. It's so good. It's the weight lifted off, but it's also, you're not on like a stranded island by yourself.
Yeah, huge.
You know, we are designed as a couple to embrace and to figure out this crazy life together as a team.
Right.
And that team does have a head, as we've expressed in the father role, and it does have a helpmate, is expressed in the mother role. And as the head, and we know this, we can look at, we can see it in life circumstances, like in the business world, in the military. We can see it even in like a pack of wolves.
Right. Yeah, there is an alpha.
There is an alpha. But that alpha literally cannot do all of the roles of the pack.
No.
You know what I mean? Like that alpha or that military general cannot be also all of the X, Y, and Z components of the army. I hope I'm not butchering the roles of these army positions, but all that to say is that when you are viewing it as a team, that doesn't mean that the father is implementing, but rather, is giving direction.
Yeah, and depending on the size of your team,
yeah,
you know, frequently dictates how much the leader can implement. And then, and you have to look not just in one area, but the area, the whole jurisdiction of the home and the father's role in that. And maybe a majority of the father's time is taken leading spiritually and providing and protecting. And so then the team works together to use the skills of the wife in teaching and training and nurturing under the father's headship, and in a way where, you know, by God's grace, he's brought you together to work well together, to complement each other, and that is a good thing. And so when you lean into that, then you have this great benefit of the team working well together.
And you know, you've probably heard us talk about this quite frequently, but we have a strong conviction about a family vision, a family purpose, a family direction. And as the head, even if you, the father, are not picking the curriculums, picking the schedule, picking X, Y, and Z, and then implementing them, you have that oversight that is able to say, okay, I'm looking at what you've brought to me, like I do a lot, like look at my schedule or look at this new thing I want to try. And right. Instead of being invested per se in the work that it took to make that schedule or the research done in that curriculum, he can have a non-biased opinion, making sure that the vision of the family is implemented throughout what is presented.
Right.
Does that make, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, no, I think you're saying it in a great way. And I think an important thing, a thing that you've really done very well, is that you do the research and you put the schedule together and you kind of put together the proposal for the year or whatever it is. And not that you like feel like you have to bring it to me and I'm going to like veto it, but you come to me and you say, hey, these are the things I'm thinking about. What do you think about them? And then you don't hold those things so tightly that I can't say, that looks like a lot. You know, do you
which
think...
Which he has definitely said before, because I have all these grandiose ideas, but he keeps me sane.
Right, but like, do you think, like, how do you think the priority of those things works out? Or it seems like this and that are both accomplishing the same thing. Do you think one or the other of them is better or more biblical or more well-rounded or whatever fits the vision of the family? And then you look into like, well, what are we doing on the homestead and what are we doing for vacations and where is our kind of focus of learning in different things? And then you can bring the education into alignment with the family vision and kind of where you are hoping to bring your kids into in developing their strengths and focusing on increasing their weaknesses and hopefully leading them to the Lord.
Yes. And as the maybe head teacher or the one that is doing the work during the homeschooling time, mm-hmm. there is a tendency that we can become pigeonholed or hyper-focused on perhaps what is right in front of us, and we tend to miss the big picture. Or the frustration can come out really fast when I've been doing this and I've been trying and I'm trying. And you know what? There is power in the team where someone can come and observe. Someone can come and give wisdom. Someone can come and say, you know what, babe, you are doing good. This is just going to take some diligence.
Right.
And to just continue to that provide that encouragement piece as the leader. And it reminds me of, like, I see these mugs, like, for sale about homeschooling, and it says, like, you know, like, I think my principal's hot or something like that. I think that those things, although funny, just remind us that we're not alone,
right?
You know, and that this is a teamwork, and that ultimately, if I just can say this, we both, mom and dad, are responsible and will answer to Christ for what we have done. But the father is going to answer to Christ for the leadership
right.
that he has done. And knowing that, it is our job as the helpmate to include him in the process. And that is, I just speak as a wife, that is my responsibility to make sure that, not that I'm getting the stamp of approval or the veto power or whatever right. in those, you know, negative terms, but that I'm coming alongside him and seeking his wisdom in it. And I know as the husband that he feels more empowered to lead when he has the opportunity.
Yeah, I was just a couple of things there. I think it's a good admonishment for wives to seek the leadership of your husband. And if you're a husband listening to this, that you initiate and engage with your wife, especially when it's related to your kids' education, not in a negative way, of course, but in a way that is invested. And I would even say that early in our homeschooling journey, like Marissa's background, she's formally educated as a teacher, but I was the one that was homeschooled growing up, and I don't really know that I fully understood the importance of my investment in helping with those curriculum decisions and sorting out the priorities and all those different things. But it really was like you initiating that conversation to say, hey, what you think and what you as the leader of our family, like what your vision is for this is really important. I think that really helped me to kick in and be like, oh yeah, I am responsible to lead in this area as well. Even if I'm not doing the work every mm-hmm. day, that it is an important place for me to be engaged in. So I think you said that great. Wives, seek out your husband when it comes to the sports teams and the education and the community activities and all of those things, and really honestly ask for his input.
Yeah.
And be willing to receive it.
Right. Be humble in that.
Yeah. Submissive, even yeah. you would say.
Oh, no. You know, too, this reminds me a little bit of a conversation that Darren and I just had not too long ago. With this whole world of AI and, you know, when we were growing up, the expression was, well, you're not going to have a calculator in your back pocket. Well, now you do, you know.
Yeah.
And there is just a lot of things in this new I don't want to say new world because, you know, but in this technology driven time of our lives while we're raising kids that maybe we did not experience while we were being raised.
Well, like it used to be you walked into McDonald's and ordered from a person.
Right.
And the drive through was like a big deal. And now we were talking to a friend and they went to a restaurant and they didn't even have the choice to order from a person.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, technology obviously has advanced so much. You're probably listening to us on a podcast or watching us on YouTube.
Pocket computer.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but all that to say, we were conversating about that. And I was seeking Darren's wisdom, because he, I feel like, is more in touch with maybe some of the additional challenges that the world's going through, maybe things that he foresees or has like future thoughts about what our kids are going to face because of the technologies. And we were able to, because of that intel, because of that information that I literally just do not have time to listen to all these, you know, people debate about where we're at in the world and all these things, because I am a homemaker and I'm proud of that. And that is where my attention lies. But because of that insight, he comes to me and he says, I think it would be really good for us to have additional focus on original thought, original writing, and basically things that reflect the gift that is going on in our brain that God has given us.
Yeah.
Versus the, unfortunately, tendency to have AI generated
content. Yeah. Yeah. That we should be educating and exercising the parts of our mind and our existence, I guess, that are the Imago Dei, that are made in the image of God, that those things are the things that they might try to replicate with AI, or they might give the appearance of replicating with AI, but there is an original thought that comes from the mind and the heart and the soul from us as humans, and that is the muscle and the skill that I think is going to be one of the most important in the world going forward, where, yeah, the pocket computer can do the math for you. You might know how to read a tape measure today, but you already have equipment that will laser measure things, and they're working on technology for your phone to 3D scan things and have it to scale and be able to measure it. You know, so even those things where it was like the joke when we were growing up, like, well, they graduate high school, they can't even read a tape measure. Well, maybe someday that isn't even relevant, but what is relevant is our ability to have those original thoughts.
Yeah. So definitely that was great for me to hear, and a way then for me to prioritize that in our curriculums, in our schedule. So that was just an example.
Yeah. And it's not that you don't teach your kids math still, right? But it is to think like, okay, how do we teach maybe practical math, and how do we teach the application of math in the day-to-day business world, or in the day-to-day functionings of cooking, or, you know, making things from scratch and those type of things. Like, you still learn the function of math, but you learn the application side along with it, the critical thinking along with it.
Yeah. So there's two other areas that we want to include today in this podcast to talk about how the father can be the head of that growth unto the Lord in education. And we talked about homeschooling, which is a really big part of our family dynamic, our structure, and hopefully we gave some tips and tricks and practical wisdom with examples of what we've been working through as we work to let Darren lead.
Yeah, I mean, and quick tip, one other thing that I think is important to say on this topic is that even if you're not a homeschooling family currently.
Very true.
And even like whatever the dynamic is, whether it's both of you as parents are not wanting to homeschool, or one or the other is hesitant, I would encourage the same conversation. I don't know how many times we kind of hear like, oh, I could never homeschool my kids, from the wife. But maybe the husband really would want to lead the family in a homeschooling direction, and it needs to be a more open conversation than a closed off conversation between the vision that the husband as the head might have for the family and the place that the wife is in at the moment as far as engaging with that vision.
Yeah. So good. That's a great reminder. And if your kids are in a different type of schooling, these conversations should happen, that the husband then can express what's important to him.
Yeah, they 100% still apply.
Yeah.
With what classes the kids are in at school and what after school extracurricular activities they do.
Right.
And all of those types of things are part of their education.
Yes. So the second element we've also talked at length about, but it's so important to remember that the spiritual education, the spiritual growth, we've talked about it in the way of our family Bible time. And that yep. happens, and Darren leads that. And quite honestly, I don't really have a lot to do with that part of it. But what element I would like to bring up as the mom is that there are times that I get to lead the family spiritually. Maybe it's during our, you know, time in school when we do Bible time, or maybe it's a devotions when Darren's working or things like that. But it is so good. Let me say this. Even though Darren is the head, that doesn't negate my responsibility to spiritually teach right. my children. However, because he is the head, it gives me the opportunity to have alignment on what we are spiritually teaching our children, both in doctrinal things.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
But also in that I get to provide intel to Darren about conversations that we're having, about questions that's come up, about thoughts or maybe doubts that have been expressed. And then Darren, as the spiritual leader, gets to take that intel
right.
and gets to pray over it,
yeah.
gets to prepare over it, and then gets to teach it. So it's both teachings happening at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, a recent example, you guys were doing some catechism in school. Really, really good to just be reviewing like questions and answers on Christian truth and doctrine. And one of the answers was the Apostles' Creed, mm-hmm. right? And you guys were reading that and you were memorizing it and you were going over it. And there was a question about, you know, sometimes the Apostles' Creed is quoted descended into hell. And sometimes that he descended into Hades, you know, but both of those words maybe have a different real actual understanding of what it is. But it brought up some questions with the kids, like, wait, what does that mean? And some of these things. And, you know, Marissa very wisely brought that intel to me. And I was like, oh, man, now you're going to make me think about it. But it was really good. There's some great resources out there, and I was able to review them, read the scripture, and see, like, okay, does what some commentators and some teachers are saying, does that align with what the scripture says? Because you never take it just at the word of a person, but you always bring it back to scripture, and you review it, and you pray over it. And then I was able to come back to that child with a more specific answer to say, hey, here is a 15-minute lesson on that one line, and we can review the meaning of it, maybe some of the thoughts behind it. And, you know, maybe in that conversation, 50% of it went right over his head, but it plants the seeds to know that there is answers to be found in Scripture.
Yes.
And it's that great picture of working together
yes.
where Marissa doing education, doing spiritual training and growth throughout the day can come to me and say, hey, here's a question that was brought up. Like, how are we, you know, what's kind of the thought process or the answer on that one? It would be good to follow up on.
Yeah. And then the questions, while they still can be asked at any time, might give your husband an opportunity not to be like blindsided
yeah.
and add a context of what do you mean hell? What do you mean? Can you give me more information? That can honestly kind of sometimes stir up frustration in your child when they're trying to then explain what their question is versus if the mom is able to give the intel.
Right.
And then the dad is able to prepare. And also it provides a unity in the family.
Yeah.
We're all having the same conversation whether dad is present or not. And I think that's really important. Another example I was thinking of in our own lives, we've been doing BSF, which is Bible Study Fellowship. It's a national program. And they just announced that next year they're going to be doing Revelation. And, you know, I love that they're handling each, you know, book of the Bible.
Yeah, you're in John right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's important. Every part of the Bible is important. However, I can personally attest that I feel a little intimidated about learning about it and teaching about it. And in my own spiritual walk, I want to be better at knowing and feeling confident I know who is the victor and I know who wins in the end, but there can be a lot unpacked in Revelation.
Yeah, huge.
And so I was able to come to Darren and I was just telling him, like, this is our plan that we're thinking about doing for next year. I want to know your wisdom and your prayerful thought on this. But I also want to ask, you know, if you would do the study too with us, maybe either individually or in the men's group or something like that, that we can have these conversations together, because inevitably questions will arise.
Right.
Or maybe there will be a teaching that we might not agree with doctrinally, but it is important to know that teaching.
Yeah.
Right. And then to teach what we do believe.
Hello, we want to interrupt this podcast today to let you know that it is brought to you by Heritage Home Family Farm, a Christian family seeking to bring a legacy of flavors to your table. This family is passionate about building the family culture and making homemade with ease. They have a series of spices, loose leaf teas, and baking mixes available to make delicious, clean, and easy homemade food at your table and in your kitchen a possibility in today's busy world. Find out more at heritagehomefamilyfarm.com. Yeah, and you really brought up just a great point of wisdom that I think is important in this conversation about leadership and headship and spiritual development. And that really is that, again, not in a belittling, I need permission type of way, but I do think that the man, the father, the head of the household, the husband has a responsibility to know what his wife and his children are consuming from outside sources. I think that it's a risky thing that has happened in the church today in Christian homes where men are disengaged from spiritual development and spiritual growth, and women are engaged in it without consulting or being in communication with or spiritual relationship with their husbands. And they can unfortunately get carried away into stuff that is distracting them from the gospel.
Yes.
And it can happen to men too. I'm not saying it just happens with women, but I think the tendency overall today would be fair to say that women tend to be in Christian homes right now more spiritually engaged than men. And so women, another opportunity to look to your husband for leadership, like you showed great wisdom just in this conversation with doing. You talked to me before you guys rejoined BSF here, and you're going through John, and it's good. And I follow along a little bit with reviewing the lesson questions with the kids. But to have that insight to say, hey, we're going to cover like a big doctrinal topic next year in the book of Revelation. What do you think? How can you be engaged? Because I don't want to be headed down a different path than you're headed. I think that's really important conversation to have. And so I would say, women, the same thing. If you are listening to a new podcast or you're reading a new book and you just think like, wow, this is the cat's meow, this is the greatest thing, have your husband review it and say, hey, I just got some questions about what this author's saying. Like, do you think it's good or wrong? Or what do you think about it?
Yeah. So when we talk about the education of the family, definitely the schooling is a huge element of the father being the headship over. And then we look at this second section, and it's the spiritual growth, and it's both within the family unit and over the wife too. And when I say over, just like Darren said, not a punitive over, you can learn this, you can't learn this, you know, X, Y, and Z. But in that teamwork element that we talked about, that there, you guys are working together. Darren and I are working together to pursue Christ. It reminds me of that triangle. I'm sure you all saw it. And if you took any premarital counseling, but you know, it's like the husband and the wife are on one each corner and they're working their way up to the top corner of God. And when they do that, their family is stronger as well from it. And so it's definitely a trickle down effect.
I was just going to say, it does remind me a little bit though of, now I'm not going to remember if it's Corinthians or Timothy, where Paul says like he does not permit a woman to teach, and he's speaking of the general assembly of the church. And then he also says that if she has questions, she should go to her husband in private. And I think that that is something that you've just modeled really well, to say, when if you're somewhere and you hear a teaching And you're like, that's new. That's interesting. What implications does that have in our lives? Then you do, like, come back, and not in a way that, like, demands an answer, but you come back and we'll talk about it. And we'll say, oh, well, what do you think? Does that align with what you've known before? Or does that, you know, and sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I'm on board with that. Like, I already held that view, or that's a new view, and I like that. And I think it lines up scripturally. Or sometimes it's been, yeah, but you have to consider, like, this verse and this passage and this other passage and hold them in tension with each other, because you can't dive off that deep end. But all those things to say, it is a good thing, like you're saying, that brings the wife and the husband together, so that our journey growing in the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, is in unity together. Yes. Super important.
And like Darren mentioned, you know, there's such a gift right now with technology, even though we just talked about, like,
that's awesome,
how annoying it can be at times too. There is a gift of information, and there is a lot of it. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of great resources out there. And honestly, it is a lot to kind of like weed through to find the voices that you want to listen to. And in a...
like who's being faithful to scripture.
Right. And in a unified way with your husband, it is totally appropriate in any situation to come to him and say, I've been listening to this person. What are your thoughts on this person? But there's also, I would like to say, a caution for wives. And this is another ask me how I know, because I do this a lot, where we tend to listen to many voices. And so then we can go to our, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this?
Well, I don't got time necessarily to have an opinion on 17 different things that you're listening to. Right. I mean, that's what you're trying to say.
That's totally what I'm trying to say.
Like, don't overwhelm the leadership of your husband.
Yeah. But maybe in patience and in careful conversation to start to weed out and to find the voices that you enjoy listening to and that you biblically align with.
Right.
Because too many opinions, too many voices, one cloud the whole iCloud, right?
What are they? Right.
Give you too much data or whatever. But also can be distracting to the main message. And I have found that there are some voices that I just can't listen to anymore in my own situation of life, because they have varying opinions. And it's hard for me to want to receive encouragement, to receive teaching, to receive instruction, and yet at the same time discern out the little high flyers.
Right.
You know? And so
the little extra biblical pieces.
Yeah. So when you have a family, you have a home, you have these things, we should just be very mindful of what voices we are receiving.
I think there's some serious wisdom in that too. Like, studies really show that when you survey people, like, their knowledge is far above what their actual application level is. And so while we do need to be growing in the knowledge of Christ, and we do need to be growing in our understanding of doctrine and our defense of our faith, it is also important that we focus just like the time in our day equally on application. Like, if you're listening to, you know, 5 or 6 parenting podcasts a week, and they're all great, awesome Christian parenting podcasts, and you're not applying any of them, then you need to, like, listen to one and then apply that one into your family life and into your rhythm and into your parenting and your marriage, and slow down on the consumption and increase the application.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit about, like, all of the diet trends right now, you know, or all of the health ideas that are out there. I can probably tell you, you know, 100 great ideas of people that have shared with me.
Drink this drink, eat carnivore, go vegan, whatever.
Like, so, like, many, you know, passionate people. But I haven't implemented any of them because probably there's so many ideas. There's so many voices, which, where do you start, right? But two, just because you know or you heard an idea or something doesn't mean it's taken root in your family's dynamic.
Right.
And I think that's really important to have that unity with your husband where you go to your husband and you're like, okay, I'm feeling convicted in this way. I heard it from this person, or I read it in the Bible or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think? And what can be our plan of action?
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, I think in balance though, too, appropriately with like the severity of the, or the level, the tiered level of the doctrine that is being taught by the person that you're listening to. If you're listening to something that's like just more practical application of like living a Christian life, then that maybe is one level. But if you're listening, if you're getting into like, oh, I'm listening to like differing opinions on baptism or differing opinions on like head coverings or like some big external doctrinal choices, then those even more, like before you go reading a book about like paedobaptism and having this massive conviction of baptizing your infants, you need to like be in alignment with your husband. Like, are we considering any other covenantal position other than credo baptism in our family? And do we want to read something together when you're ready, husband, at your leadership? You know what I mean? Like, there's differing levels.
Well, and I was just thinking when you were talking about that, it's all too easy to go to your friend, right? Like, and, oh, have you heard of this? Or have you heard of this? Have you considered this? But there is wisdom in going, obviously, to your husband first. You know, the Bible instructs that. But it also prevents you from sharing or oversharing thoughts that you have not, wife, me, Marissa, that you have not dived biblically enough into. It is too easy to share thoughts that you heard someone else say and share it with someone. And unfortunately, that can provide a little bit of confusion if you do not have the depth behind that.
Yeah, like what is
or with your kids, not even with a friend, right? What about with your kids too?
Yeah, like what is the background behind that doctrine, and what is the way you think about that, and what are the implications, and what is the scriptural backing for it, and whatever. Like, there's a lot of elements there.
Yeah. So, and that doesn't mean don't talk with like a trusted mentor or friend.
Yeah, of
if
course.
You have concerns. But how easy is it for us to start talking instead of going to our husbands first?
Yeah, to seek to learn. What is it even in James? It says like that if you are a teacher, you will be more strictly judged. And I think it's important that you understand that if you start espousing some new doctrinal belief or application to all your friends,
right,
that in a way, if they're looking to you for mentorship or spiritual wisdom at all, like in a way, you are teaching them. Now, that passage probably more directly speaking to pastors and elders, leaders of the church, but I think it serves as fair caution to be cautious when you are sharing wisdom with your friends, not to share beyond the level of study that you are really confident in.
Yeah, and in the same passage in James, it talks about your tongue right, starting a forest fire. You know, like the things that we say and the thoughts that we have should be held captive to God and glorifying to God, not stirring up concern or dissension.
Confusion.
Thank right. you. Yeah. So we hope this was quite the conversation starter for you and your spouse.
Yeah.
Because it is not easy in today's world to view marriage, to view homeschooling, to view spiritual leadership as a headship and a helpmate.
Right.
It's
countercultural.
It's very countercultural. Does that mean I am less valuable in this family team than Darren? No. In fact, I think just yesterday he told me I could never do what you do.
Right.
Like, he just so very encouraging and so very true, because I could never do what he does. But that's what makes us a great
right.
team.
Yeah.
And God knew that when he put man and woman together.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when we let the cultural ideas about marriage get on the forefront of our mind or become priority against God's word, we find a lot of hurt and depression and confusion and honestly not thriving in how God's design is.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean...
And again, ask me how I know, because in the beginning of our marriage, I suffered from not being the helpmate. I wanted to be the head. And there was a lot that I worked through.
Well, I think, though, too, like, you have to realize that it's not just it's not just us allowing the culture to dictate our marriage, but it's that when we do not purposely submit our marriage roles to the Word of God, then we naturally live in our flesh, which is the temptation and the fleshly desire for men to be passive and for women to want to be over their men, that their desire is for their husband, it says in Genesis chapter 3, that they want to have that leadership role in their sinful flesh. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you can't, unfortunately, have a biblical marriage structure by just resisting the worldly influences, but it does have to be by purposefully submitting your marriage to the roles and the purpose that God has laid out in his word.
Yeah. You can't be just...
There's no neutrality.
Yes. There's no neutrality. You have to be actively pursuing Christ and his design.
So that's our prayer for you, is that you would actively pursue the Lord in your marriage, and that wives and husbands would see this beautiful thing that God has created and really lean into that.